To those who are in the pit of pain, in fire, whose portion is suffering, deign thy relief, O Mary. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. This old Irish prayer, which I introduced as homily in honor of our Blessed Mother, could be introduced also by many a story of suffering, of pain. And perhaps one that struck me was that of a Romanian priest, probably during the aftermath in World War II, when this Catholic country was very much persecuted. The priest was thrown into a very darkened imprisonment. I don't want to say a dungeon, but it could be closely related to that. And his entire days and nights were spent in total darkness. The priest, in relating his story, spoke of the very gruesome details of his imprisonment, which I will not mention in today's sermon, but rather the consolations that he shared after having been released. This priest said it was the glorious mysteries of the Rosary that brought a consolation and flooded his soul so that he was barely able to speak. Suffering, my dear friends in Christ, will cause us to either be bitter or to become a better person. And to become better, we need love to soften the nettles of suffering, affliction, grief, and misfortune. For in the soul of a Christian who is determined to become holy, God uses suffering to perfect and sanctify the soul. The lot of the children of Adam includes afflictions of body as well as mental pain. Often, the need of others to help us, especially in severe bodily pain, surfaces. In mental pain and anxiety, one will often seek the prudent counsel of others. But let us remember that God wants us to turn not only to our fellow man for assistance, but also to his divine providence. And in turning to God in adversity and pain, it makes such a turning to the divine heart more real than it often is in our day-to-day routine of prayer and acts of piety. In going to creatures, we turn to those who quickly understand our pain, our misery, rather than to someone who we know will be indifferent. Did we not last month turn our daily aspirations toward Golgotha, toward Gethsemane, to him who became obedient unto death, even to the death on a cross? To him who is echoed, "My people, what have I done to thee? Answer thou me." We turn to him who invites the most miserable of us and the wretched of humankind when he says, "Come to me, you that labor and are burdened, and I will refresh you." Is there any of us here today who has not tasted the bitter chalice that life often suffers from time to time? God, we know, spared not even his own Son. And this same divine person, in turn, did not spare his own beloved mother. The chalice of suffering which he himself prayed to be relieved of. And so, in God's infinite, wise, and merciful providence, it is from this creature, exalted above all creation, that we find more consolation in our ups and downs of life, in the seas of trial and sufferings. This mother most merciful than we do from any other source save God. One needs but to contemplate that beautiful sequence, the Stabat Mater, to realize that she has endured more than you and I will ever be asked to bear. So much so that many a century later, a one Father Faber could write of our Blessed Mother, "For in Mary's ear all sorrow singeth ever as a psalm." Yes, she knows how to comfort her children. As the bishop has just mentioned, this title, Comforter of the Afflicted, is one of the oldest invocations of Mary in the Church's history. For instance, in Spain, in the city of Valencia, one of the richest shrines there, which originated around the 14th century, is the Mount of Pity, dedicated to the Mother of the Forsaken, where a religious community here dedicated their apostolate to the receiving, rescuing rather, of abandoned children. St. Jerome Emilian did the same thing after having been delivered from prison by Our Lady herself. He worked in the taking care of orphans. We also know of a Blessed Claude Bernard, who had a special devotion to this title of Our Lady of Consolation. The city of Nantes in France, we find the famous shrine of Our Lady of Mercy. For closely woven are Mary's titles, Our Lady of Pity, Our Lady of Mercy, Consoler of the Afflicted. Where do we not see these applied more than Mary's maternal care, her love and relief of the holy souls in purgatory? Her zeal for the glory of God makes her turn those eyes of mercy towards us, for she wants us to save our souls. Her Sabbatine privilege bears tender proof of this. It is from the book of Lamentations that we read, "O all ye that pass by the way, see if there be any sorrow like to my sorrow." St. Paul tells us, "Our Lord comforted him in all his tribulations, that he also might be able to comfort others in distress by the encouragement which he received from God." This is the secret of true consolation. Those are able to comfort others who in their own life have been much tried and felt the need of consolation and have received it. This then is why the Blessed Virgin Mary is the consoler of the afflicted. We all know how special a mother's consolation is. It is in the Glories of Mary written by St. Alphonsus Maria de Liguori that he admonishes himself first of all and then his readers of two things which would prevent Our Lady from becoming a consoler in our afflictions. First, failure to have recourse to her. Secondly, little confidence in Mary and her powerful intercession. We cannot doubt her intercessory power, for instance, when one devoutly recites the Memorare. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to thy protection, implored thy help, or sought thy intercession was left unaided. Could anyone retain little confidence after reading this classic in Catholic literature by St. Alphonsus, The Glories of Mary, or the lives of so many saints who in their childlike and tender devotion to Mary are comfort in all the afflictions of life? So many men, women, and children, clergy, laity alike, who witnessed an answer to their prayers to our Blessed Mother under this title. She, the Mother of God, who is in truth our life, our sweetness, and our hope. To those who are in the pit of pain, of fire, whose portion is suffering, deign thy relief, O Mary. And now, my dear friends in Christ, as I leave this pulpit, I am not going to end this sermon, but rather I ask Our Lady herself to continue this address in the many days and months and years ahead. As you and perhaps members of your dear family visit her in this shrine here, now dedicated here in St. Gertrude's to Our Lady of Consolation, or even only in spirit, should you be prevented to travel here. Yes, send our Blessed Mother a silent spiritual email, if you will, in prayer. Reveal to her your requests, your petitions, and your needs. And let her, in her maternal love, show you how she is, in every sense of this title, which we honor today, Consolatrix Afflictorum, the consoler of the afflicted. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost descend upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.